or not entirely. But he was an idiot. Blowing over $3,000 on a hotel room and food for one night? Smart to hide out until Monday, banking hours, grab the rest of the money. Stupid to spend so much of it just so he could gloat. She pulled up at his last known address, flipped up her on-duty light. Since he liked to gloat, wouldn't he like to brag to friends? Maybe roll out and hit Vegas again, see if his luck improved there, or go sun on some tropical beach? He'd had a girlfriend, Eve reminded herself, made a note to interview her. She used her master to gain access to the dumpy three-story walk-up, ignored the rickety elevator, and took the stairs to the top floor. Chapter 3. She knocked, expecting she was wasting her time at this hour of the day, but within moments she heard the slide of locks. The man who answered was mid-20s, average height and gym fit. She could see that easily as he wore snug bike shorts and a skin shirt. His brown hair sported a single red blaze and was tucked back into a short tail. He leaned against the door jamb, one hand on his cocked hip. Posing, she thought, in a way that showed off his buys and tries. "Well, hi there," he said. "Hi back." The flirty smolder blinked away when Eve held up her badge. "Is there a problem?" "I don't know yet. Can I come in, speak to you?" He glanced behind, shifted, looked back at her. "Yeah, I guess. I'm working at home today," he said as he opened the door. "I was just taking a break, doing a few miles on my bike." Eve saw the desk against the short window with its piles of discs, of files, a bag of soy chips, and a tube of some sports drink. A couple feet away sat a gleaming stationary bike facing a massive wall screen. "Look, I know I got a speeding ticket a couple weeks ago. I'm gonna pay it. Do I look like a traffic cop?" I guess not. Not so much. "Lieutenant Dallas, NYPSD. Homicide." Jeez, God. "Are you Malachi Gold?" "Yeah, Mal. People call me Mal." "Who got killed? Do I know somebody who got killed?" And suddenly he looked very young. "I don't know yet. You know Jerry Reinhold?" "Jerry? Jerry?" Now he looked young and ill. "Oh, Jesus! Jesus! I need to sit down." Full weight, he dropped onto a slick surface sofa in shimmering silver. "Jerry's dead?" "I didn't say that. My information is you know him. How do you know him?" "From the neighborhood. We grew up together. We lived a half a block from each other growing up, went to school together. We hang out, have a beer or whatever. I've known Jerry my whole life. What happened?" "I'll get to that. What kind of work are you doing there, Mal?" "What? I'm a programmer. I can work at home most days if I want. I do programming and troubleshooting for Global United." "Are you good at it?" "Yeah." He passed a hand over his face, like a man trying to wake up. "It's sweet work. What I wanted to do since I can remember."
"Pays good."
"Yeah, pays good if you're good." "I don't understand what this is about."
"Just getting a picture," Eve thought.
"I'm looking around here, Mal, and you've got some nice stuff. Furniture, equipment. The building's kind of a dump."
"Oh." He managed an uneasy smile.
"Yeah, but that's just the shell, right? It's what's inside. And I like the location. I can walk or bike to work, to the gym, to my folks' place. I know everybody, you know? I didn't want to move when I started making some shine."
"Got it. Jerry's data lists this as his address.
It does?
Mal's eyebrows drew together.
We shared the place for a couple years, but that's been a while. Months now. Maybe 8, 9 months now.
Why did he move out?
Oh, well, he hooked up with Lori and...
Lori Nuccio?
Yeah, Lori. He moved in with her.
That's not why he moved out.
With a pained look, Mal shifted.
Okay, look. I carried him on the rent for 3 months, heading into 4. It didn't seem right he wasn't holding up his share, or even really trying to. So he moved in with his folks for a couple months, then moved in with Lori.
Did the two of you fight about it?
The rent?
Oh, Jesus. We argued some, sure, you know how it is. He was a little steamed, yeah, but we smoothed it over. We go back, man, a long ways. When I got a solid raise, I rented this place in the freaking Hamptons, man, for a week this summer, and I took Jerry and a couple of other pals along. It all chilled out.
What happened to him?
How did he die?
He didn't.
But you said
no, I didn't.
Jerry's not dead, as far as I know.
His parents are.
At that, Mal sprang up as if he'd been propelled. What? No! Mr. and Mrs. R? No!
Did they have an accident?
Homicide, Mal, remember?
Man, man.
Tears glazed across his eyes, coated his voice.
Were they mugged? They loved to go to the vids, and sometimes they'd walk home late.
No. He dropped down again, covered his face with his hands.
I can't believe it. Mrs. R. She always has something for me if I drop over. Cookies or pie or a sandwich. Always saying I need a haircut and to settle down with a nice girl. She's like a second mother, you know? Oh, Jesus, when my ma finds out, it's gonna knock her flat. They've known each other forever. Poor Jerry. God, poor Jerry. Does he know?
Yeah, he knows. He killed them. His hands lowered slowly. His eyes, glassy with shock and tears, stared into Eve's.
That's not true. That's bogus. That's not possible. No way. No freaking way, lady.
Lieutenant, and there's absolute way. Where is he, Mal? Where would he go?
I don't know. I don't know.
Rocking a little, he pressed his fist to his belly.
Where do you go when things are crazy or falling apart? You go the hell home.
He's finished with that.
He wouldn't hurt them. You've got it wrong.
Contact him. Try him on the link.
Look, I'm his friend. You're trying to trap him for something he didn't do, couldn't do.
Eve leaned forward. He stabbed his mother in the kitchen. I haven't been to the morgue yet, so I can't verify how many times, but he tore her up. Then he waited until his father got home from work, and he bashed him to pulp with a baseball bat. His color faded to a sickly gray.
No, no. A baseball bat.
That's right. Mal swallowed hard.
We played ball.
Little League. Then a sandlot league my pop put together a few years ago.
But he wouldn't do this.
He did this. Then he stole the cash they had in the house, and he found the passcodes and transferred every dime they had into accounts in his name. He spent the last 2 nights in a fancy hotel living it up.
No.
He rose, walked to the window in front of his desk.
I don't want what you're telling me. We've known each other since we were 6.
Where would he go?
I swear I don't know. My ma's life, I swear it. He didn't come here. He didn't tag me.
He ditched his link. He'll have a clone by now, so you won't recognize the ID if he does. And if he does,
Be chilly, Mal. If he says to meet him somewhere, say you will, then contact me. If he comes here, don't let him in. Don't let him know you're here and contact me. She set a card on the table as she rose. Give me some names, other friends, and this Lori Nucho's contact information.
Okay.
He listed names, and Eve keyed them into her notebook. She dumped him, you know, Lori. He lost his job, stopped paying his share of the rent. A habit of his.
Yeah, I guess.
He went to Vegas with some friends a couple months back. Joe and Dave from the names I gave you. I couldn't make it. My sister's birthday, and man, did I carp about that. He dropped a pile, I heard, and Lori kicked him. So he was living back home. Mal rubbed his hands over his face.
I gotta go see my mother.
I can drive you.
No, that's okay. Thanks. I think I need to walk. I think I want to walk. He's practically my brother, you know. They just had him, and I've got a sister, so we were like brothers coming up. He's a screw-up, okay? I don't like to say it, but he's a screw-up. But to do what you say he did, I need to go home.
Okay, Mel. She picked up her card, handed it to him. Put those numbers in your link. You contact me if you see him, hear from him, or anyone you know does. You got that?
Yeah, I got it.
After tagging Peabody, dumping the two other friends Sylvia Gunnarsson gave them on her partner, she tried for the ex, and wasn't as lucky as she'd been with Mal Gold. When no one responded, Eve tried knocking on neighbors' doors until one creaked open. Not buying, the woman said. Not selling. Eve held up her badge. I'm looking for Lori Nucho.
You don't tell me that sweet girl did a crime.
No, ma'am. I'd like to talk to her about something, but she's not in trouble. The door cracked wider, and the woman gave Eve a hard stare over a beak of a nose.
It's her day off. Mine, too. She went out a couple hours ago, I think. Going shopping, maybe, she said. Having lunch with a girlfriend. Maybe getting her hair done. Stuff girls that age do. Ms. Crabtree. Selah Crabtree.
Eve took out her PPC, brought up Jerry's picture. Miss Crabtree, have you seen him around here? The woman snorted, opened the door fully, shoved an absent hand through spikes of brassy blonde.
That one? Not since she kicked him out in good riddance. Now you tell me he'd done a crime. I'm believing you. Didn't treat that sweet girl right, if you ask me. I told her the same myself and how she'd find better. I had one like him at that age. Best thing I did was kick him.
No one liked Jerry, Eve thought, but nodded. If she should come back, would you give her my card? Ask her to contact me?
I'll do that.
And if he comes around, Ms. Crabtree, you contact me. The woman spread her lips in a snarling smile.
You can bet on it, sister.
Don't confront him.
He hurt somebody, didn't he?
Why do you say that?
Had it in his eyes. I've tended bar for 33 years. I know eyes, and those that got mean in them.
He hurt somebody, Eve confirmed. Don't confront him, and tell Lori to contact me as soon as possible.
I'll look out for her and for him. But he hasn't come around here in a good month now.
Hey! She shot up a finger. I've got Lori's pocket link number. I've got it. I'll try that next. Thanks.
She keyed in the number as she headed out and down and got dead air.
Puzzled, she keyed in the data again, checked the number, tried it again with the same result.
Changed it, didn't you?
Eve hauled herself back, checked with the neighbor, but the number was the same as Eve's data.
You know, she said something about getting a new link, Crabtree remembered. A new number, the works. Said how she was going for fresh wherever she could get it.
Eve thought, crap, but nodded. As soon as you see her, tell her to contact me. She headed down again, decided to start on the list of names she got from Mal via link on the way to the morgue. By the time she got there, she'd managed to contact three on the list and leave word with the manager of the restaurant where Lori Nuccio worked in case. Maybe she didn't need this stop. At least she didn't need to confirm cause of death on her Vix, as the cause had been brutally obvious. But it was part of the process, and part of hers. She wanted to see the victims again, take a hard look, and she wanted Morris's take. The chief medical examiner often gave her another angle, or at least made her think. She walked into the echoey white tunnel, slowed as she passed vending. She could really use a nice cold boost, but machines like to screw with her. She wasn't in the mood to be screwed with by a damn vending machine. Shoving her hands in her pockets, she marched on, then pushed through Morris's doors. He had both victims on slabs, their bodies washed clean of blood. The mother's chest was splayed open from Morris's precise Y-cut. He bent over her, studying what lay inside. He wore micro-goggles over his clever eyes and a clear gown over a gray suit with hints of steely blue. He tied his long stream of black hair into a trio of descending ponytails and bound them with silver cord. Their son, I'm told.
Yeah.
He straightened. This is considerably sharper than a serpent's tooth.
What serpent?
Now he smiled, and warmth came into his fascinating face. Shakespeare's.
Oh, no wonder he and Rourke hit it off.
Nothing poetic about this. He dealt in tragedies, too. And this is one. What I'm getting is the son's a fucking asshole who went psycho. Have you got anything cold in your box?
We keep everyone cold here.
He smiled a little.
But if you mean to drink, yes.
He gestured with his sealed, blood-smeared hands. Help yourself. Vending keeps breaking down on me, she said as she crossed to his little fridgie. I think it's something chemical.
Do you?
Grateful, she snagged a tube of Pepsi. She cracked the tube, took a gulp.
Anyway, he repeated. Ladies first, as you see. In her case, in death as well as life. She'd consumed a slice of wheat bread, about 6 ounces of soy coffee with artificial sweetener, and a half cup of Greek yogurt with granola about 5 hours prior to TOD. Not a particularly lovely last meal. She was very slightly underweight and in very good health. Or she was before she was stabbed 53 times.
Serious overkill. The majority of the wounds were inflicted when she was prone. The angle. And several of the blows were forceful enough to nick bone, and in fact, broke and lodged the tip in her tibia. He held up a specimen jar. My opinion is, all wounds were inflicted by one blade, which matches the one you found still in her. There are no defensive wounds.
She didn't see it coming. Probably didn't believe it when it did.
I agree. From my reconstruction, it's my conclusion the first blow came here. He held a finger over the body's abdomen. It did considerable damage, but she would have recovered from that with good and speedy medical treatment. The next, probably this, near the same area. They'd be face to face. Yes, probably very close. After that, they were more random and more forceful.
Getting into it, she murmured.
On the back. He ordered his screen to change views, so Eve studied the victim's back. One or two of them, from the angle again, were probably delivered as she tried to get away and as she fell. She was dead, or at least unconscious, before the majority of them. Small mercy. Some bruising where she fell, but she wouldn't have felt it.
Very small mercy.
You know who. Do you know why?
He's an asshole. A screw-up, even according to his oldest friend. He couldn't or wouldn't keep a job. Girlfriend gave him the boot. He's back living with Mom and Dad, and they're going to give him the grow-up-or-get-out routine. I think Mom gave him a heads-up on that.
Being a parent is full of pitfalls, I imagine. This shouldn't be one of them.
No. How many times had she stabbed her father? Eve wondered. Had anyone counted? But then, that had been a matter of life and death. Her life and death.
Can you tell me anything about the other Vic?
Very preliminary.
Morris walked over to the second slab.
Your TOD on scene was accurate, and again, the bat you took into evidence matches the injuries. The first blow here? The face, and with considerable force. Meat of the bat.
Swinging away, Eve nodded.
There's a little jog leading to the kitchen. He stood behind it, that's what he did. Stood behind it, and the husband comes in, starts back, sees the wife, the blood, the body, starts to run. He steps out, swings for the benches right into his father's face.
Shattered his nose, left cheekbone, and eye socket. Subsequent blows broke several teeth, the jaw, fractured the skull in three places. Before he moved down to the body. My estimate, which I'll refine, is approximately 30 blows, some of them straight down, head of the bat into the body. In this case, I believe the first blow would have rendered the victim unconscious.
I guess he got off easier than his wife. She'd have suffered more, yes.
Did you ever fight with your parents?
He smiled easily. I was a teenager once, after all. It was my duty to fight with and exasperate my parents.
Did you ever fantasize about giving them a couple good shots?
Not that I recall, no. I did imagine, regularly, proving them wrong, which I don't believe I ever did. Or running off and becoming a famous blues musician.
You play a pretty mean sax.
I do, but...
He lifted his hands.
The dead are my work, as they're yours. Now we'll do the best job we can for the mother and father, this asshole.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for the drink.
Always stocked for you. And Dallas, let me thank you in advance for Thanksgiving. It means a great deal to me to be included with your family and friends.
It made her feel a little weird, so she shrugged.
Hell, Morris, how many dead have you and I stood over together? If we're not family and friends, what are we?
Eve drove straight back to Central. She wanted to set up her board and book. Write her preliminary report, and if they didn't bag Reinhold by the end of the day, have an appointment set with Mira for a profiling consult. And when a tour group, led by an officer friendly, piled into the elevator, she jumped off, opting for the longer but less crowded route of the snaking glides. As she rode, she pulled out her signaling link,
noted Peabody on the display. Dallas, what have you got?
A cheese and veggie pita and soy fries. I'm at the cart, east corner of Central, and on my way in. Do you want me to grab something for you?
Eve started to refuse, her mind on work, then had a sudden hankering. Load up a dog. I'm already in-house, heading up.
You got it. Give me 10.
In her bullpen, Jenkinson, still wearing the atomic tie, sat scowling at his screen. Baxter, still wearing his sunshades, spat rapid-fire questions into his link. She caught the distinct smell of fried onions over the bad coffee. She spotted Uniform Carmichael back in his cube, pulling them out of a greasy bag while he worked his keyboard one-handed. Situation normal, she decided, and moved into her office. She ignored her blinking message light. It could damn well wait until she'd set up. She ordered printouts of crime scene photos, of her Vix, of Reinhold. She sat at her desk to formulate her timeline, printed that, and started on her report.
Loaded dog, Peabody announced, bringing the scent with her. I got you fries, too, just in case.
Thanks. Peabody gestured toward the auto chef. Knowing her partner, Eve held up two fingers to signal coffee for two. What did you get from the interviews?
That Joe Klein's pretty much of a dick. He's not buying his good bro Jerry killed anybody. Hit on me in a very slimy way. Claims Reinhold's ex is a pushy bitch and had a good laugh recounting how Reinhold lost over 5,000 in Vegas while he himself won 8. A point their friend Dave Hildebrand, who isn't so much a dick, claims Klein rubbed all over Reinhold's ass and still is. Hildebrand hit 10 on the shock scale, she added as she brought Eve coffee. But when he leveled off, he told me he wondered if Reinhold was a shaky boomer primed to explode. Pissed at the world, was the phrase he used. Considered his parents interfering, demanding, and to blame for whatever came to mind. Peabody took her first gulp of coffee. Unless it was a former boss, a coworker, his ex, or some random dude on the streets to blame. He said he'd hit a club with Reinhold and Klein the night before the murder, and all Reinhold did was bitch. He, Dave, hasn't been hanging with them as much since Vegas. He's seeing someone and claims he's a little tired of Reinhold's endless complaints and Klein's general dickishness. He's hung a little more with Mal Gold, who you may have met since he lives at the last known.
Yeah, we met.
Neither of my two have seen or heard from Reinhold since Thursday night. Klein tried to tag him Saturday night, but hasn't heard back.
Reinhold was a busy boy. Gold's not a dick, by the way. She caught Peabody up with the salient points of that interview while she chowed on the dog. Banks? She finished, mouth full.
I got copies of the security discs, reviewed them while I traveled. He had the I'm a smug son of a bitch vibe going. Briefcase, no suitcases. According to the managers, he wanted all cash, but some of the amounts made that tricky, so he settled for the cashier's checks. A couple politely questioned him regarding why the quick deposit and withdrawal. He told them to give him his money or he'd cause a scene. I have a feeling he didn't use such mild terms.
I'll need to look at them. Did anybody see him leave? What he left in?
Outside security caught him on foot.
Trying in vain for comfort, Peabody shifted in Eve's visitor's chair.
He could have had transpo waiting, or picked it up once he was out of range.
Let's send some uniforms around to neighboring businesses, see if they picked anything up. In the meantime, I couldn't connect with the ex. According to her neighbor, she's out with a friend today and buying a new link with a new number. See if you can find anything on that. The neighbor, Selah Crabtree, has my contacts, so I expect to hear from the ex when they connect. Otherwise, we'll round her up in the morning.
Got it.
I'm going to set up a meet with Mira, do the notifications. The Vic's parents need to be told before the media leaks their names. Get your notes together so I can... She broke off as her desk link signaled. Though she intended to ignore it, she glanced over at the readout.
Crap!
It's the commander. After swiping a hand over her mouth, in case, she flipped it on. Lieutenant Dallas. Rather than his admins, Whitney's face filled her screen.
I'd like to see you in my office, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Now!
On my way. He clicked off.
God, I get gut knots just thinking about if it was me he called up like that.
Shit. I ate most of a loaded dog. I have loaded dog breath. Rising, Eve yanked open drawers. I must have something around here.
Try this.
Peabody offered a little box, flipping the lid to the tiny pink balls.
Why are they pink? Bubblegum flavor. It's good, and they work.
With little choice, Eve popped two. Pink or not, they were pretty good. If I'm not back in 10, I need you to do the notifications.
Oh, please be back.
That's up to Whitney. Swinging through, she noted Jenkinson and his tie among the missing, and imagined he and his partner, Reinecke, caught one. Baxter had shifted to his comp, intensely, she noted. His shades hooked in his front pocket, where she assumed he put them, intending to stick them back on the minute the tie walked back in. It was a joke that would last the entire shift. She stepped out, spotted Detective Carmichael at vending.
Hey, Lou. Just getting our current bag of scum a cold one. Sanchez is working him in interview A.
What did the bag of scum do?
Tossed a junkie down a flight of stairs, then stomped him to death for trying to scam him with play money. I mean actual play money, like from a game. Bag of scum deals mostly to funky junkies.
And the funk played hell with eyes. Play money probably seemed fine to him.
Yeah, well, he won't be passing go.
Go where?
You know, go.
Carmichael circled their hands in the air. Monopoly? The game? Dead makes a full stop.
You got that. Bag of scum's claiming the junkie fell, and he's claiming the reason he ran like a freaking gazelle when we tracked him is how he was late for an appointment, and how all the bags of funk and zoner we spotted and managed to even scoop up a few before bystanders swarmed weren't his. And he's being arrogant about it, which makes you want to bitch slap him a few times.
I didn't hear that part. Carmichael smiled. Sanchez keeps me in line. He's a peaceful sort.
Stomped him?
How are the bag of scum shoes?
The smile widened. He didn't even bother to change his boots or get the Vic's blood off them.
We're getting them analyzed. But he left a goddamn boot print on the Vic's chest, clear as a footprint in wet sand. And we have these two wits who were looking out their peeps when he shoved the guy because the bag of scum was yelling his ass off at the junkie.
Sounds like you got him.
Why are you getting him a cold one?
Mostly because Sanchez wanted me to cool off. Asshole said all I needed was a good fuck with a big dick. Gave me the crotch grab and said he had one waiting for me.
There's more than one way to bitch slap, Carmichael. Interview A's on my way.
She started to walk.
What's his name?
Street name's Fang. Real's Alvar Romando.
With a nod, Eve gestured to the door. Just open it. Start to go in. Don't close it.
Carmichael obliged. So I'll see you after...
Hey! Eve poked her head in the door, pointed at the bulky man, mid-20s, mixed race, leaning Latino, sporting complicated and elaborate tat sleeves.
Hey, you didn't say you had Alan here.
Before Sanchez could speak, Eve sent him the briefest glance. He settled back.
How's it going, Al?
Not so good, I guess, from the look of it.
Who's this bitch?
Fang demanded.
You bringing another bitch in?
No problem. I can handle both of you. He smiled, proving he didn't spend a lot of his profits on dental hygiene, grabbed his crotch, rocked his hips, grunted suggestively.
Yeah, that's what you said that night after all those tequila shots.
I dug the tats, she said to Carmichael.
So I gave him a shot. What the hell?
Let me tell ya. Rolling her eyes, Eve held up her index finger and thumb, a scant 2 inches apart, then lifting the index, made a soft whooshing sound as she curled it limply down. Fang's face went fiery red as he tried to lurch up.
You lying bitch! Lying puta! I never seen you before!
Don't remember me, Al? You said to call you Fang, right?
Didn't have much of a bite,
she said in an aside to Carmichael, girl to girl.
Lying bitch! I never seen you!
Too much tequila. Eve shrugged it off.
That's okay. I remember you. I never forget a...
Eve did the falling index finger again.
Anyway, she said brightly to Carmichael, see you later.
She began to shut the door, considered it a job well done when she heard the shouting stream of curses. Then she hot-footed it to Whitney's office. Chapter 4 The outer office was unmanned, and Whitney's door stood open. Eve stepped to it, waited a moment as he sat at his desk, concentration on his wide, dark face while he scrolled down his desk screen. He fit the desk, she thought. The command of it with the windows at his back, full of the city he'd vowed to protect. He'd worked the street once and had been good at it. Now he rode a desk to run what she considered the best police and security force in the country. And he was good at that, too. She knocked lightly on the door jamb.
Excuse me, sir. Your admin's not at her post.
She's at lunch.
He gave her a come-ahead curl of his fingers.
Shut the door.
Yes, sir. Since she knew he'd invite her to sit, and she preferred giving oral reports on her feet, she jumped right in.
Both Peabody and I just returned separately from the field regarding the Reinhold homicides.
He sat back, tented his big hands.
Double murder. Mother and father.
Yes, sir. Evidence, overwhelming even at this point, supports the fact that Gerald Reinhold stabbed his mother more than 50 times, then lay in wait for his father for over 6 hours. He beat his father to death with multiple blows using a baseball bat. She ran it through, top to bottom, side to side, without much interruption. For the most part, Whitney simply sat, watching her, giving the occasional nod, or asking a brief question for clarification.
I intend to ask Dr. Mira to profile, and still have to interview the ex-girlfriend and his former co-workers, supervisors, but the three men he's known to be closest to haven't yet had contact since the murders.
You believe them?
Yes, sir. He has what he wants. He's had his celebration.
I expect a report from Officer Cardinini shortly on what's missing from the scene so we can notify pawn shops, secondhand stores. He'll want to get rid of what he took, add to his cash. He was smart enough not to stay in one location where we could easily track him, but he has to land somewhere.
Local media will play it up for a news cycle or two. You'll handle that.
Hated that, Eve thought. Could and would handle that.
I'll have a more detailed report shortly, Eve began.
I'm sure you will. I'm satisfied you have this investigation in hand. But I called you up here on another matter.
Now he laid his hands on the desk.
You're to be awarded the Medal of Honor.
Sir?
Most specifically, for your exemplary work, the personal risks taken, and the countless lives you saved through that work by those risks in the recent incidents of mass murder by chemical weapons, the apprehension of Lewis Calloway and Gina McMillan, and the case you built against them.
Commander, I'm honored. But I didn't investigate, apprehend, or build the case alone. My team
will be acknowledged, as will Agent Teasdale from the HSO. You headed that team, Lieutenant. You commanded and command those men and women. This is the highest honor bestowed on a police officer by the NYPSD, and isn't given lightly, though some politics may come into play. In this case, and in my considered opinion, they played properly. Do you want to dispute my considered opinion, Lieutenant?
No, sir. Neatly cornered, she thought. Thank you, sir.
The presentation is scheduled for this coming Wednesday at 1400. I've been given the nod to so inform you. I'm proud to do so.
Thank you, Commander. Actually, the idea left her tight in the chest with a snagged-up combination of pride, gratitude, and outright embarrassment. I don't want to seem ungrateful. I'm very grateful. But is it possible to keep this
low-key, quiet, small, and relatively private?
Hope struggled to bloom through the snags. Any of that? His lips curved.
Absolutely not. Suck that up, Dallas.
And quietly died. Yes, sir.
And on another matter that also has its tangle of politics, I have a question for you. Do you want a captaincy?
Eve opened her mouth. Couldn't think of a thing. For a moment, she couldn't quite feel her own feet. Sir?
It's a direct question, Lieutenant. I'd like a direct answer.
But before she could formulate one, he held up a finger to hold that answer off.
You're young for the rank. Would be the youngest captain under my command. And if it had been my call alone, the bars would have been offered to you long before this. Politics, perception, prejudice have all played a part in the decision not to offer them. Our personal lives are part of who we are, and part of how we're perceived.
Understood, Commander. And because she did, not only understood him, but the process and herself, everything in her loosened again. I've always understood. And have no regrets on my personal life.
Nor should you. It's become more difficult, some may say impossible, to use your marriage as a wedge against this promotion. It's particularly difficult now, as Rourke will be awarded the Medal of Merit, civilian.
She actually felt her eyes pop a bit before she let out a half laugh. I can use that on him for years.
The two of you have an interesting dynamic, Whitney observed. Now I'd like your answer.
Commander, trying to think clearly, so her answer would be, she raked a hand through her hair. 3 years ago, I wouldn't have hesitated. It was more about proving something to myself. Outside of the job, the ground was pretty shaky for me, and I didn't even know it. Not really. So I wanted that to prove I had the solid under me, and I wanted to earn it.
You have earned it.
As he studied her face, lines dug in between his eyebrows.
But now you hesitate?
Sir, I admire your transition from investigator to commander, your skill and your insight. Your work is more difficult than I can imagine, and it's honorable and necessary.
You've already got the promotion if you want it, Dallas.
That relaxed her just a little more. I'm not ready to ride a desk. I'm solid enough on administration, but I'm an investigator. A captain's presence in the field as an investigator is the exception rather than the rule. I'm a murder cop. That's my strength. That's my skill and my insight. I wouldn't be offered this promotion otherwise. She thought of Jenkinson's ridiculous tie, of the rubber chicken above Sanchez's desk when he'd been the new guy. More, she thought how she could trust, without question, anyone in her bullpen to go through the door with her. And, sir, I don't want to put a buffer between me and my men. I don't want them to feel they have to climb the chain to talk to me, to run a case by me, to ask for my help. I'm not willing to step away from them. They and the job are more important than captain's bars. I'm glad to be able to say that and mean it.
You've given this considerable thought.
Actually, Commander, I'd put it away. I haven't given it much of any thought in a long time now. At peace with it, she realized. A not altogether familiar place to be. I'm grateful to be considered. I believe I best serve the department and the people of New York where I am. He sat back again, a big man with a big city behind him.
I could have pushed for this harder at several points along the way and had several debates with myself on doing just that.
Politics, sir. She shrugged them away.
Some, yes, but not all. The primary reason I didn't push is I agree with you. Your strengths are your investigative abilities and your skill handling your department, your insight into the perpetrator and victim. I didn't want to lose that. But now that certain obstacles are cleared or have been cleared, I felt it was time to ask you directly.
Frankly, sir, at his nod, she continued. It's a weight off knowing the obstacles are cleared and understanding my own goals and priorities.
Then I'll relay your answer to those it's relevant to.
Thank you, sir. Sincerely.
You're welcome, Lieutenant. Sincerely.
He rose from his desk, came around it, and did something he rarely did. He took Eve's hand, shook it.
Dismissed.
She walked out a little dazed, but yeah, she realized, okay with it. Like she'd tossed aside a weight she'd forgotten she carried, but knew just where it landed if she ever wanted to pick it up again. But now, right now, she felt good staying light on her feet. The tie was back in the bullpen, busy at his desk. Baxter and Trueheart held a confab at Baxter's desk. Peabody worked morosely at hers, which meant she dealt with the notifications. And every cop in the room, including Jenkinson, wore sunshades.
It looks like Hollywood PSD in here.
Dug up a pair for you, boss.
Baxter tossed her a pair with black flames and square amber lenses.
Can't have our LT's eyes bleeding all over the floor.
Willing to play, she slipped them on as she walked to Peabody's desk.
Status? I made the notifications. They took it hard. My mother always says, no matter how old your kid gets, he's still your kid. I guess she's right. I also contacted local department grief counselors in their areas.
Good.
Sweeper's prelim is in, and Cardinini sent the list of missing items the neighbor identified. Copies should be on your unit.
I'll check it out.
You were gone a while.
When Eve remained silent, Peabody moved on.
So I sent Dr. Mira an overview in case you still wanted the consult.
I do.
No luck on Nuccio's link yet. Either she hasn't activated it, or there's a backlog in the registration and data, which is more likely. When you get a new link, Peabody continued, it's like a toy. You just gotta play with it.
How long does it usually take to pop on data?
Usually? Anywhere from a couple hours to whenever the hell.
Great. If it doesn't pop, and she doesn't make contact by end of shift, I'll swing by her place again on the way home. If she's making a long day out of it, we'll catch her in the morning. Get the description of missing items out.
I'm working on it.
Okay. She started toward her office. Glance back. Good work, Peabody.
Thanks.
Eve walked into her office, started to close the door, stopped herself. No, she wasn't going to sit in here thinking about the meeting with Whitney. She didn't have time to parse through promotions, politics, perceptions. She needed to do her job. She brought up the list of items first, read it, pondered over it. A few pieces of jewelry, as she'd expected. Small, star-shaped diamond stud earrings, with the note the wit stated had been a 25th anniversary gift to Barbara from Carl. An antique lady's gold watch, set with diamonds and sapphires, circa middle 20th century, Rolex brand. Again with a note stating it had been the Vic's great-grandmother's, Wit believed maternal. Two gold bangle bracelets, one set of pearls with gold clasp, heirloom from maternal grandmother, and the Vic's diamond engagement ring in a plain gold setting. So the Vic's had been traditionalists, Eve thought. Engagement ring, a couple of family pieces. On the husband's side, jewelry was limited to a gold wrist unit, again a Rolex, traditionalists, engraved with the Vic's initials, a 25th anniversary gift from his wife, one pair of brushed gold cufflinks, one pair of hammered silver. More jewelry listed, but the wit believed those pieces were costume and stated she'd been with the Vic when several were purchased. The wit also listed two e-tablets, two mini-comps, a sterling silver menorah, sterling flatware, heirloom again, service for eight, a cut glass crystal bowl in the shape of a footed basket with handle, which the wit stated had been Barbara's only piece from her great-grandmother and her pride and joy. Cardinini added to her notes on what struck her that hadn't been taken, including a wedding chuppah with the Tree of Life hand-painted on silk. Witt states the piece was made for female Vic's great-grandmother's wedding, served in grandmother's and in mother's wedding, and in Vic's. It's in perfect condition, signed by the artist Miriam Green. Vic confided to Witt she'd hoped to pass it to her son and had it insured for $45,000. Photo attached of chuppah and wooden music box, Witt states male Vic's father recently passed to him. It appears old, a cylinder-type mechanism with an inlay of a woman playing a lute on the top. Witt believes the piece was also insured. Thorough, Eve thought, with a nod for Cardinini, and interesting information. Reinhold had limited knowledge, she concluded. The wedding canopy deal meant nothing to him, and he'd been unaware of its market value. The music box didn't look like a big deal in the photo, and he'd probably considered it parental junk. So he took the shiny and the electronics and the cash. Not stupid, she thought again. Just not really smart. She read over the sweeper's reports,
chafed a bit they hadn't yet identified the footwear from the bloody footprints on scene, reviewed the ME's findings, then pulled them together in her own report. She copied Mira, Peabody, her commander, then added the data to her board and book. And with her boots on her desk, sat back and studied what she had. Fairly ordinary people, she concluded. Traditional, long-married middle class. Woman keeps the home. Man provides the home. Solid family ties, solid friendships, well-settled neighborhood. They'd raised one son. A disappointment? Can't hack college, can't hold to a job, can't maintain a relationship. Did they push him some? Yeah, she thought. Traditional. Be a man, get a job, think of your future, pay your bills. Got sick of hearing that, didn't you? She mused, studying Reinhold's face. Sick of them telling you what to do, how to do it, looking at you with that disappointment in their eyes. There's your father, plugging away every day at some stupid job. Boring bastard. And your mother, fussing in the kitchen, gossiping with the neighbors, always telling you to pick up your stuff. Nagging bitch. Holding you back from everything you wanted, both of them. That's how you see it, Eve murmured. You don't have to look at them anymore, listen to them anymore. You're a free man now. She pushed to her feet. But not for long. As she grabbed her coat, Peabody came to the door.
We've already got a hit on the two watches and the pearls. Upscale shop in the East Village.
Let's check it out. And Reinhold's last place of employment. Just the watches and the pearls, she added as they started out.
That's all he brought in.
Spreading it out. Doesn't want people asking too many questions. And makes sure he takes them out of his own neighborhood.
The owner called it in as soon as he saw the alert. He told me Reinhold came in about 11 with the watches and the pearl necklace.
About 2 hours after the banks, lining his nest egg. In the garage, she got behind the wheel as Peabody keyed the shop address into navigation.
I'd have wired the money to New Jersey, Peabody commented. Better, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, maybe Pittsburgh. Then I'd have packed it up on Saturday, walked uptown, caught a bus maybe, transferred, taken another into New Jersey, found a nice quiet hotel, caught my breath. Sunday, I'd make my way south. After I cut and dyed my hair, picked up an over-the-counter temp eye color change one place, temp tats another place.
You have to show ID for the money. Change your look. It's sending up a flag.
Right. Okay, I wait on that one. I get the stuff, but I wait on it. Maybe I hunt up a shop like we're going to in Jersey, liquidate a few items. By Monday morning, I'm picking up the money, then I use a walk-in flop, pay cash, change my looks, and I'm going to liquidate the rest in Pittsburgh.
You should wait to change your looks, then. Or we'll have your new one when we track the goods.
Damn, right again. I use the flop after I liquidate, and I use some of the money to buy new ID.
It amused Eve, and she thought helped train Peabody for her to poke holes in the master escape plan. And how is some lazy bastard schmuck from the Lower West Side gonna know where to get fake ID in Pittsburgh?
Okay. He gets it before he leaves New York.
Question holds.
He's gotta know somebody who knows somebody. He probably bought fake ID before he hit legal drinking age so he could get into the clubs or buy a brew. Who doesn't?
Peabody slid her glance to the left.
You never?
No. She hadn't cared about clubs, Eve remembered.
Trust me, most kids do. so I'd use that as a springboard. Shell out some of the money for new ID.
Except, back in New York, you don't have the new look.
Shit!
Cornered again, Peabody wrapped a fist on her thigh.
Let me think. How would you play it?
I'd spend some of the time I'm in the apartment with my dead parents researching how to make my own fake ID. I find a dead guy, get the supplies I need for docs that will satisfy the board clerk at the ID center, and I liquidate everything on Saturday, well before anybody's issued any alerts. When I leave, I have one easy-to-carry suitcase, backpack, overnight, travel light, travel fast. I don't need or want all my stuff anyway. I'd pack just enough to get me through a couple days. I wire the money to an offshore account, one that doesn't report transactions. It's not that much money. Nobody's gonna blink. That gives me all day Sunday to travel. I leave looking like myself, hit a flop. That part works. Change my looks to match the ID I'm gonna make. Take my own picture to go with the docs I've faked. Then I'm going to add some embellishments so I don't look so much like the guy I'm going to become. Layer my clothes to bulk myself up. Take some of the hair I cut and saved and dyed and make myself a little goatee, maybe. Add an earring, a couple temp tats, maybe washable bronzer. Then I take a bus, a train, juggling transpo, but not to Pittsburgh. To someplace like Milwaukee.
Milwaukee? What's so good about Milwaukee?
It just came to me, but it's away, Midwest. That's where I scout out the ID centers until I find one that feels right. I change my looks back, go in with my story about losing my ID while I was on a scuba trip in Cozumel. Peabody gasped at her.
Seriously?
It sounds stupid and weird, and that's why they'll buy it if you play it right. Then I walk out with my new ID, take a shuttle to the Caymans or wherever I've wired the money, scoop that up. Then I'd check into a nice hotel, head to the beach, and have one of those drinks with an umbrella in it.
You're good at this.
Eve shook her head as she hunted for parking. Not good enough. It's not enough money to make it all work or be worth it. And it's still leaving a trail if the cops keep sniffing. She spotted a second-level spot and another vehicle on the hunt. Ruthlessly, she hit vertical, tipped, veered, and shoehorned her way in. We'd follow the money, she continued when she hopped out. And we'd find it. He'd have been better off to settle for the cash around the apartment and whatever he could carry and sell. Then run like hell, change his ID, his looks, his name, maybe settle in Milwaukee and get a nice nondescript job. But most people are too greedy, too impatient. They want it all, and they want it now. At street level, she walked the half a block to Ursa's Fine Jewelry, which hyped their expertise in sales, repair, and acquisition. She stepped inside to the scent of flowers, the murmur of voices, and the sparkle. Peabody said, "Oh!"
"Stomp that down," Eve warned. "The guy with the flowy silver hair and cruise ship tans, Ursa."
Spotting him sliding some sparkles on a velvet tray back into a display case, Eve crossed to him. "Mr. Ursa?" She palmed her badge, watched him nod as he sighed. "Lieutenant Dallas and Detective Peabody, we appreciate your cooperation in this matter."
"He looked like such a nice young man."
"I'm sure he did."
"He said he'd recently lost his parents in an accident. He choked up for a moment, so I didn't press there. And he said he couldn't bear to keep the watches or the pearls. He'd tried to wear his father's watch, he said, but it was too upsetting."
"I bet."
"I did suggest he might want to wait a little while longer, perhaps put them in a safety deposit box, that he might regret selling them at some point. But he said no, He was leaving New York and felt he should try for a fresh start. They're all lovely pieces. The vintage woman's watch, particularly. If you'll wait a moment, I put them back in our vault after my daughter noticed the alert on our screen. We've never had this happen before. It's very upsetting. I understand. Excuse me. He walked away and through a door. As he did, a woman stepped over. She had his dark blue eyes, his nose. I'm Naomi Ursa. My father's very upset. I saw the media bulletin about the two people, the husband and wife, killed in their apartment on the west side. I haven't mentioned it to my father. But those watches, those lovely antique pearls, they belonged to those poor people, didn't they? I can't verify that. It would help if we could see your security footage. Yes, Pop already had a copy made for you, but if you'd like to come around the counter, you can see it on our screen right here. Eve started around, then had to elbow Peabody, who stood mooning over a necklace that looked like a chain of little pink tears. I queued it up when you came in, Naomi told her, and called for play. Eve watched Reinhold come in. No suitcases, she noted, so he'd found somewhere to stash them, somewhere to hole up. He had what she supposed he thought of as a sad face on, and arrowed straight for the older man. Interesting, she thought.